Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Friday, October 4th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. We're diving into a hot topic that's been making waves in the health world.
Thanks for having us, Ted. It's great to be here to discuss such an important issue.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. Let's get this party started, shall we?
Today we're discussing a recent study on inflammatory diets in the United States. Eric and Kate, what are your initial thoughts on this research?
Well, I've got to say, the study's findings are pretty darn concerning. I mean, nearly 60% of Americans consuming pro-inflammatory diets, that's a massive health risk we're talking about here. It's like we're collectively playing Russian roulette with our health, you know?
I'm going to have to stop you right there, Eric. This study seems to be oversimplifying a super complex issue. You can't just pin everything on diet.
But Kate, the numbers don't lie. We're talking about 57% of U.S. adults having pro-inflammatory diets. That's more than half the country. We can't.
Sure, numbers are cute and all, but what about other factors like stress and sleep? The study doesn't even touch on those. It's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Let's take a step back and break down the study's methodology. How exactly was dietary inflammation measured in this research?
Great question, Ted. They used this nifty tool called a Dietary Inflammatory Index with 45 components. It's pretty comprehensive, assigning values from 9 to 8. Basically, it's like a report card for your diet, but instead of grades, you're getting an inflammation score.
Oh, come on, that index is totally flawed. It's like trying to fit everyone into the same pair of jeans. It doesn't consider individual differences or genetic factors.
Hold up, Kate. This index has been around for a decade. It's not some fly-by-night fad. It's a validated tool in nutritional science. You can't just
because it's old doesn't make it accurate, Eric. We need more personalized approaches. It's like using a map from the 1950s to navigate today's cities.
The study found certain groups at higher risk. What are your thoughts on this aspect of the research?
This is crucial information, Ted. The study shows that Black Americans, men, and lower-income individuals are more likely to have pro-inflammatory diets. It's like a red flag waving at us, saying we need to focus our efforts on these groups.
That's such an oversimplification, Eric. These groups often face systemic issues affecting their food choices. It's not like they're choosing to eat poorly.
Exactly why we need targeted interventions for these high-risk groups, Kate. We can't just sit back and watch. We need to address these disparities head-on.
Interventions won't work without addressing the root causes of inequality. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. We need to fix the system,
Let's look at historical context. Can you think of any similar dietary concerns from the past?
Absolutely, Ted. The discovery of scurvy and sailors in the 18th century comes to mind. It was a major health crisis caused by vitamin C deficiency. These poor guys were literally falling apart at sea until they figured out the solution was as simple as adding some citrus to their diet.
That's not even remotely comparable, Eric. Scurvy was a single nutrient issue, not a complex dietary pattern. You're comparing apples to, well, entire fruit baskets.
It's totally relevant because it shows how diet directly impacts health on a large scale, Kate. Sailors were dying left and right until they added citrus fruits to their diet. It's a perfect example.
But that was a clear-cut solution, Eric. This inflammation issue isn't so simple. You can't just hand out lemons and expect all our health problems to disappear.
How does the scurvy example relate to our current situation with inflammatory diets?
Great question, Ted. Like scurvy, we're seeing widespread health impacts from diet. The solution lies in changing what we eat. It's not rocket science. We identified the problem with scurvy and fixed it. We can do the same with inflammatory diets.
It's not that simple, Eric. You're oversimplifying again. Scurvy had a single cause and cure. Inflammation is multifaceted. It's like comparing a paper cut to a complex fracture. Sure,
but the principle is the same, Kate. We can significantly improve health by adjusting our diets. It's not about finding a magic bullet. It's about making consistent positive changes.
You're oversimplifying again, Eric. Social and economic factors play a huge role in diet choices today. It's not just about willpower or knowledge. Some people can't afford
to eat. What lessons can we learn from the scurvy example?
The big takeaway here, Ted, is that dietary interventions can have dramatic health benefits on a population level. Just like adding citrus fruit saved countless sailors' lives, we can make a huge impact by promoting anti-inflammatory foods. It's about making smart, science-based changes to our diets.
The real lesson is that we need to look beyond just food, Eric. Scurvy was solved by addressing sailors' living conditions, too. It wasn't just about throwing lemons at them. We need to
exactly,
consider the bigger
Kate,
picture.
Which is why we need comprehensive dietary guidelines to address inflammation. We're not just talking about adding a few superfoods here and there. We need a complete overhaul.
Guidelines aren't enough, Eric. We need systemic changes to make healthy food accessible to everyone. It's like giving someone a recipe without ingredients or a kitchen. We need to address
looking ahead. How do you see this issue of inflammatory diets unfolding?
I'm optimistic, Ted. I foresee a shift towards anti-inflammatory diets becoming mainstream. People will start incorporating foods like turmeric, ginger, and green tea more. It'll be like the kale craze, but with actual science backing it up. We'll see these foods popping up in everything from smoothies to fast food menus.
That's completely unrealistic, Eric. Without addressing food deserts and income inequality, nothing will change. You're living in a health food store bubble. Most people can't afford or
but
even find.
But awareness is growing, Kate. As more people learn about inflammation, they'll make better choices. It's like what happened with trans fats. Once people understood the risks, demand for healthier
choices are
options.
Limited by circumstances, Eric. Many can't afford or access these superfoods you're talking about. It's not just about knowledge. You can't eat quinoa if your neighbor.
What about the role
has.
Of policy in shaping future dietary trends?
Great question, Ted. I think we'll likely see policies promoting anti-inflammatory foods, maybe even subsidies for healthier options. Imagine if fruits and vegetables were as cheap as fast food. We could see a real shift in eating habits across the board.
Policies won't work without addressing systemic issues, Eric. We need comprehensive healthcare and economic reforms. It's like trying to fix a leaky roof by repainting the walls.
Policy can drive change, Kate. Look at how trans fat bans improved public health. It wasn't just about individual choices. Sometimes we need top-down approaches to make real progress.
Trans fat bans were easier to implement, Eric. Changing entire dietary patterns is much more complex. You can't just wave a magic policy wand and expect everyone to start eating like health gurus.
Any final thoughts on how this might impact healthcare in the future?
I believe we'll see a decrease in chronic diseases as people adopt anti-inflammatory diets. It could significantly reduce healthcare costs. Imagine a future where heart disease and diabetes rates plummet because we've tackled inflammation through diet. It's not just about living longer, but living better.
Without addressing social determinants of health, we won't see real change, Eric. We need a holistic approach, not just dietary fixes. It's like trying to cure a systemic infection with a Band-Aid.
But dietary changes can be a crucial first step in improving overall health outcomes. Kate, we can't wait for perfect solutions. We need to start somewhere, and diet is a powerful tool.
It's a Band-Aid solution, Eric. We need to address the root causes of health disparities. Focusing solely on diet is like trying to bail out a sinking ship with a teaspoon. We need.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Eric and Kate for this lively discussion. It's clear that addressing inflammatory diets is a complex issue with no easy answers. Until next time, this is Ted from Listen2, signing off.